Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And we navigate this crazy clown world together, trying to connect the dots and bring everything together. We try to cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. And we're going to cover a couple of big stories tonight that the mainstream media is totally out to lunch on. Specifically, what is happening to the future of Ukraine? This has been the plan all along, to turn Ukraine into a United States colony. We're going to show you the pretty alarming evidence that that is exactly what Victoria Nuland and President Biden have been planning for a number of years in Ukraine. We'll look at that, plus a lot of other stories in Ukraine today as well.
Plus, Democrats are now losing their mind because they're realizing that the Democratic Party doesn't stand for them if they are the most disenfranchised in society. Specifically, black neighborhoods are suing their local government to stop all of the benefits for migrants in their neighborhood. This is an amazing story. We're going to bring you specific stories about how black voters feel so disenfranchised by this non-addressed immigration issue.
We're also going to look at Germany. What the heck is happening to Germany collapsing under the weight of its energy crisis? And we're also going to talk about coffee, because the World Economic Forum, the WHO, actually the WHO this afternoon, Tedros releasing a message about they really want your diet to change. We really want you to have a plant-based diet. That from the World Health Organization today. But the World Economic Forum doesn't want you to eat meat and absolutely wants you to think about every cup of coffee you drink, because coffee is absolutely tied to climate change, they say. We're going to shoot all of that down. All of that and so much more as Redacted starts right now. Everyone in the chat, eat the bugs. Rapunzel says, eat the bugs. Yes, Klaus Schwab, eat the bugs.
You eat the bugs.
Welcome in, everyone. Hope you guys are doing well on this Tuesday. Hope you guys are a little bit warmer. What's the temperature? Let me know where you guys are joining us from around the world today. You guys still dealing with this crazy cold snap? Philip and David, have you guys been able to leave the house? I know it's been ridiculous.
It's fine now. It's the snow is almost completely melted. It's like 51 degrees here today.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest out there. Yeah, a lot of people still dealing with craziness, yep. Especially up in Canada as well. Good to see everyone tonight. Yeah, we've got a lot of news to get to, but we do have a daily newsletter that we would love to tell you about.
Sure, I'll do that. If you go to redacted.inc, you get the free Redacted newsletter. It is not behind a paywall. There is no level of newsletter that we upsell you. It's free. And it will remain free. We write it as a compendium to this show, so you can study up on the stories that we talk about, and you can trust that we get our sources from as original of sources as possible. You read it, you decide what you think, then come here and have a conversation with us here on Redacted. Again, you go to redacted.inc, sign up for the newsletter, put in your email address, and then you get it every day that this show comes out, Monday through Thursday. It is kind of like a gift to you. I very much think of you, our audience, when we're writing it, and we hope you enjoy it. So again, it's totally free at redacted.inc. Please sign up.
Yeah, and I love the emails I get from you, because I send it via clayton@redacted.inc. That's my email address. So I get a lot of responses from you when we send out the daily newsletter. I try to read as many of them as possible. So thank you so much. We do get hundreds of emails a day, so it's not possible to read all of them. But many of you send great news stories, great news tips, stories to look into, books to recommend. One of our viewers last night during our live show recommended the Chris Bledsoe book that's being turned into a movie. An amazing story. And I started reading it today because of your recommendation, and it is absolutely eye-opening. So thank you for that Chris Bledsoe recommendation, the UFO God book. An amazing story, really amazing story. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did, I don't know if you had anything else to.
No, I guess, you know, and I also get a lot of emails back about the content as well. The story we did yesterday about us being on this attack list by Mark Ruffalo, I have to say, normally I can shake things off. And for whatever reason, that one stuck. I felt kind of personally attacked by it because no one asked us. They didn't do proper research. They just made up lies about us saying that we're funded by big oil. And I appreciate the support that you guys have sent out about that because, you know, sometimes I'm sure you know in your life, sometimes you can let things roll off your back and then sometimes you get a sticker in your sock. And that one was one of them.
A sticker in your sock. That happened to me this afternoon. I was walking around. I'm like, what the hell do I keep sticking to the floor? What, like, why? And it's driving me nuts. And it's that little thing that keeps bothering you. And you finally, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I mean the plant ones, like the little thorns.
Oh.
Yeah, don't you call those stickers? But probably it was one
thorn,
of our daughter's
something.
Stickers.
Yeah. Just like something was stuck to my foot. And I looked down. It was a sticker. You know, it was like one
like
of our kids, like a real sticker. And I'm like, I kept sticking to the floor. So, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess that to underline that point, we are human beings. And so when literally Mark Ruffalo and his band of eco-alarmists like put us on a list of that they say we're funded by big oil and they put like 100 other people, they're like, oh, funded by big oil. So, no, that's not true at all. Never once have been funded by big oil. Like, where the hell are you getting this from? We're human beings. It can rub you the wrong way.
Yeah,
you know, kind
definitely.
Of stuff. Anyway. All right. Well, this story we're going to talk about now, if this doesn't affect you in some kind of deep way, then maybe you're not hooked up right. You know, I think this is really an affecting story. So let's get into it. Well, the future of Ukraine has already been decided by the United States of America, according to a bombshell new report, which we will get to that part of the story here in a minute. But first, Ukraine has a dead soldier problem. Not the kind of problem you're thinking, though. You're probably thinking, well, look at all these graves that you're seeing here on your screen, right? Ukraine has too many dead soldiers. They can't keep up with the number of dead soldiers and building of graves. That's the problem, you'd think, right? And therefore, we should negotiate a surrender so more people don't die. An unconditional surrender. Give up the territory of the people that you've been bombing in formerly eastern Ukraine, like Donetsk and other areas, for the last 10 years. Give that area up. It's gone. They don't want to be part of Ukraine anyway. They voted overwhelmingly to be part of Russia. So that's not exactly what we're talking about here, though. No, instead, Zelensky won't surrender. So Ukraine's soldier problem has now metastasized beyond just those graves that you're seeing there into a cancer of what to do with all of these dead bodies, all of these dead soldiers. Sources in the Ukrainian military leaked video saying they're just burying these poor souls in mass graves, covering them up with bulldozers in the frigid temperatures, and then telling the parents total lies, telling the spouses total lies that they're missing. They're just missing. We don't know where they are. They might be captured by Russia. We don't know. This video leaked from Ukrainian military members who are trying to get the message out about what is actually happening. I guess, you know, clearly they're fearing for when this ends up being them in a few weeks or in a few months. So, of course, here you can see what you see on your screen. If you're listening to the audio version of this, if you're driving or something, they're building, of course, mass graves. And it's being directed by their leaders there in Ukraine. And then there's a bulldozer just waiting. Just waiting. And God knows where these are, right? I mean, once these things are covered up, good luck finding them. And when they do find them a year and a half, maybe 10 years, 15 years from now, you know what the mainstream media will say about these graves? Does anyone want to wager a guess about what they'll say about these graves?
Russia did it.
Russia did it, right? That's what they'll say.
Or if they're following the New York Times pattern, it's just wait 6 months. And then say that they did that and say, we think that this happened.
Yeah. And you can see the bulldozers here as well. I mean, this is what's happening regularly now. And it's remarkable. And here it is directing you. Yep. Now it's your turn. You get over here, shovel that earthenware, shovel all that earth over there on top. Hide nor hair of these individuals. Russia did it. no burial, and we don't know where these people are then, of course. And then neither do the parents, and neither do the spouses. Hiding these dead soldiers also serves another purpose, of course. If you guys figured out what the other purpose is, it's not just that they can't handle all of this anymore. If they're missing instead of killed in action, then the government of Ukraine doesn't have to pay them or the family a pension or death benefits. Doesn't have to pay these things out if they're missing in action. According to Ukrainian law, quote, adult children of servicemen living with their parents or other legal representatives are entitled to a pension in accordance with the law of Ukraine. It's called On Pensions for Persons Discharged from Military Service and Certain Other Persons. In the event of the death of a serviceman, person liable for military service, or a reservist, this pension is intended as compensation for the loss of the breadwinner and family support in difficult circumstances. So now it's been 6 months, and your son is missing, but we know what really happened. They dumped him in a grave, said he went missing. How long will he be missing? Forever. Good luck getting a death certificate in order to receive his pension or the death benefit payout that you'd receive as a military spouse. If you're married, you get a one-time death payment, according to France 24 News. Military widows in Ukraine are entitled to a one-off, one-time financial payment from the state and may be eligible for other financial payments, such as monthly sums from local authorities, depending on the region in which they live. But again, only if he's dead. If he's missing, sorry, you're out of luck. No payment for you. Turns out, according to Ukraine's official registry, there are over 24,000 missing soldiers right now. 24,000. That number seems very high, and it also seems very fishy.
Also, that's purgatory, to not know what happened to your loved one. Just imagine, that's 24,000 families who were not given the truth, who are in agony, imagining the worst.
Well, you're speaking like a true spouse and a mother, because that's exactly what these women are doing. So Ukrainian moms and spouses aren't buying it either. And they're calling for special investigations into the truth about these missing soldiers. Give me my bones. I want to do DNA analysis. I want a full investigation. I don't buy what you're telling me. I don't believe it.
Bless her, that woman.
That's just one example. I mean, there are thousands of examples. That's just one anecdote of one woman in one piece, but it's thousands. And according to the Ukraine's government own bureau on this, since September, they've had over 17,000 appeals to try to get answers about missing soldiers. 17,000. The National Information Bureau in Ukraine. 17,000 appeals because someone's not buying these stories they're being fed. According to the Ukraine's government's own bureau, they've had these 17,000 appeals, and here's the procedure once you get actually some information and you can actually, you know, apply for these death benefits. You need to get all of this stuff. Listen, a combatant's certificate, a certificate of a person with a disability as a result of war, if available, and a death certificate if the combatant has died.
Don't you launch an appeal because you have none of that?
I guess you don't have any of that, right? In addition, you're going to need a child's birth certificate, an IDP registration certificate, and a certificate of residence registration. In order to get that pension or that death benefit, you'll need a death certificate, form of ID, all of these things. But good news for any young men in Ukraine who don't want to die in NATO's war, you can buy your way out officially. Officially, not, we know about like all the black market stuff, the paying, you know, the rich parents paying to have their kids out of there. No. Now it could be law. A new bill has been making its way through Ukraine's parliament. And you can see it here. I translated it in English here. Here's the bill. This is in Ukraine's parliamentary website. You can go read the bill for yourself and where this stands right now. Member of parliament put this up. The new law in Ukraine will let you pay the military to leave the country. You can't make this up. Here are the ways that men can flee Ukraine. They've now, according to this bill, four ways under this law. A decision of public authority in an official business trip abroad. Okay. So like you're a part of an official business trip abroad. documents certifying the fact that you're studying or enrolled in a foreign educational institution abroad. So you're, you know, you're going to the UK, okay, and you're going to study. You're going to study there in Cambridge or something. Another way that you can get out is written approval for traveling abroad from the Territorial Center for Recruitment and Social Support. So, you know, I got to think there's a lot of bribery happening in that level, right? A written approval for traveling abroad from a Territorial Center for Recruitment and Social Services. Okay. But here's the real one. This one's amazing. And the fourth way that you can get out is documents confirming the existence of open account in one of the state-owned banks of Ukraine with a guaranteed deposit of at least 5 subsistence minimums for an able-bodied persons, meaning that you have to make a payment into this account equal to the minimum amount of taxes on the minimum wage for the entire period of stay abroad during martial law of Ukraine. And then you have to have permit transfer funds from such an account to a special account of the armed forces of Ukraine. You pay the armed forces of Ukraine.
And then you have to, it says here, replenish it every month while abroad.
Yeah. So you have to keep sending them money. Like you're a parent sending money to your kid at college.
That's a Ponzi scheme to not die.
Right.
I can't believe what I've seen.
If they go to Europe, what happens then? They pay the money, they go to Europe, Europe sends them back to Ukraine. Do they have to start the process over? Or like to have a second account to leave again or what?
Set up another bank account and then you're literally transferring money into the armed forces of Ukraine.
I mean, think of the kind of person who knows that they, I mean, there are stories now of men who are dentists leaving for work, getting grabbed on their way to the office. You're thinking, okay, maybe they'll come for me. What are my options? And you look at this and you're like, well, I can't do any of those things.
Yeah.
And so you are.
You're one of the poor
easy
saps.
Prey. You're a lamb in the bush.
Yeah. You're one of the poor saps that can't afford this kind of cash to pay off the armed forces of Ukraine. By the way, I'm sure that money is being put to good use, by the way. To hide soldiers in graves so they can't tell their family about it. Meanwhile, we learned this week that the United States is turning Ukraine into a new colony. In fact, I just saw someone in the chat just say, this is what a vassal state looks like. Exactly, a new colony. Which, of course, it is. This is not a shock to anyone with an IQ over 70. Even Forrest Gump knows what's happening here. U.S. is forming a colonial administration in Ukraine. Washington has told President Zelensky to put Western-educated officials in key roles. Washington has begun creating a colonial administration in Ukraine, consisting of local politicians who've sworn allegiance to the United States. U.S. government has demanded that Ukrainian President Zelensky remove dozens of high-ranking officials whom Washington no longer trusts from their posts under various pretexts. Washington wants those jobs to be filled by Ukrainians trained in the West who have sworn allegiance to American interests. It's unbelievable. As part of the policy of total vacillation of Ukraine, the United States has started forming what is essentially a colonial administration in that country. The required changes in the Ukrainian government were relayed to Zelensky during a trip to Washington in December. So that's what that trip was like to Washington. No wonder Zelensky was not happy when he was in Washington, D.C. last time begging for money. He was basically being told in private meetings, here's what's going to happen. The Americans are going to basically push ambassadors, other members of your cabinet from America who studied in the United States at Bloomington University, Harvard University, Poland's National School of Public Administration, outside NATO United States members who are now going to run your government. The Biden administration, which is in possession of what they call a killer corruption dossier on members of Zelensky's inner circle, is threatening to make the information public if the Ukrainian leader refuses to greenlight the desired personnel decisions, this Russian spy chief claims. So just think about, and we'll see all of this comes together. Like, we'll see what's about to happen here. Are key members of the military pushed out? Western-backed people pushed in? And the total vacillation and the United States companies that are going to be moving in fully to take over land, territory, resources fully so that they own the land, they own the most fertile soil, these mineral rights, and all of that. So this was going to happen all along.
How literally are we taking the word killer here? Because we know Ukraine is corrupt. That is not brand new information.
Right.
So how killer can it be? Are we talking real killing or just more corruption that we already know about?
One wonders. Like, here we've got the papers. We know exactly what you've been up to.
They're killing, right? They're leading people to their deaths on purpose.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Right. But is there more here in terms of...
I think the answer is unequivocally yes. There's more. There's more here.
Assassination attempts inside of Russia, that kind of thing.
Outside of Russia.
Yeah. Associates, family members, that kind of thing. Okay. That's terrifying.
So that's the U.S. plan for Ukraine. Let us know your thoughts on that in the comments below. We've got more news to get to here on your Tuesday. We're going to look at how, all of these illegal immigrants that are pouring across the U.S. southern border into the United States, tens of thousands per day, there's one group of Americans that they are hurting disproportionately. And it's unbelievable that it's Democrats. That's shocking, isn't it? The very people that supported open borders, that supported President Biden's immigration policies, the people that supported sanctuary cities.
Black Democrats. You think the Democratic Party cares about you? They do when it comes to your vote, and then go away for 4 years,
right,
and then come back, right? So, I mean, I'm not one of those who thinks Republicans solve any problems. But I definitely believe that Democrats are exacerbating this one.
Yeah, for sure. Especially on immigration. We'll get to that story in a moment. We're also going to look at how coffee causes climate change. Let me know in the comments below what your favorite cup of coffee is. And I'll tell you, based on their rankings, where you fall and how much you are contributing to climate change thanks to your cup of coffee. But first, you know, when we started the show Redacted, which is the show you're watching right now, America's number one news show. I like to say that. I don't know if it is America's number one news show or not, but we started Redacted. An online store was the furthest thing from my mind. Now we have an entire Redacted store with t-shirts, mugs, hats, hoodies, and more. And we're able to do this using Shopify. That's the only way we're able to do this is by using Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch of your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're delivering daily digests or serving sensational scoops like we do, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point of sale system, whenever and wherever you are, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redacted. That's all lowercase. You have to use all lowercase for that. Shopify.com/redacted. Go to shopify.com/redacted to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/redacted. And our store, by the way, the redactedstore.com, is built on Shopify. So thank you for supporting independent journalism, and thanks for the help getting our store up and running. It was, I think we started our store and it was up and running in like an afternoon. Grim was able to get it up and running on Shopify and the back end platform, and it was just super simple. So thanks for supporting independent journalism.
All right. Well, Black Democrats are suing the city of Chicago because of illegal immigrants. This highlights something that many conservative thinkers, such as Candace Owens, Douglas Murray, us on this show, have been saying for a long time, that making Black neighborhoods unsafe is not compassionate. It's racist. This is real racism, not microaggressions. Allowing people to get away with crimes in low-income neighborhoods is terror and torture to the Black communities that live there. And Black Democratic voters are saying they've had enough of this. Now, you can say, oh, yes, but we care about migrants, bring them all in. But most people who say that are what's called a NIMBY. That's an acronym for not in my backyard. So, yeah, bring them in, but I don't necessarily want to see them, right? Let other poor neighborhoods absorb them in those poor neighborhoods because they're among their own, you know, poor people. The people who say this on a Twitter account because they have an office job, am an upwardly mobile person. I should not have to see this, right? But all those other people who are not upwardly mobile, they can absorb them. That's how this is playing out. As we were warned, this group of Black people suing the city, this was a story highlighted in the Free Press, and it was a feature that I want to say, I think it's worth reading if you're a subscriber. It's a wonderful piece. I want to let this first woman, Kata Truss, say it for herself. She says, how dare you? This was her reaction, 57-year-old mother on the west side of Chicago, when she found out who was behind this push to turn her neighborhood park into a shelter for migrants. The Democrats she helped elect. She said, all these people, I've supported every single one of them. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? She said, this park where they wanted to put a migrant center, she says this was the crown jewel of her community. And it was a great place for her when she wanted her kids to keep out of trouble. She could send them there to do sports. She says, there's a humanitarian crisis in the Black community, but every time we have a need in our community, we're told there's no funds, there's no money for us. So then how does it feel when 35,000 migrants come to Chicago? They're offered resources like their laundry done, mental health care screening, free health care, and $15,000 each in rental assistance. How does that feel when you're told your school needs stuff, we can't afford it, but here's some brand new people? This is breaking your social contract with the government, right? You pay into your taxes so that you get things out, but they're paying into a system, working into a system, allowing the government to take out of their paychecks, getting nothing in return, told there's nothing there, and then new people come in who haven't been paying and they get stuff. You see how it's not a matter of like, is it right? Is it fair? It's a breaking of the social contract. Now, this woman, she got wind that her neighborhood park was about to become a center, and she raced down to the courthouse with her neighbors and the local NAACP rep, and she filed a lawsuit that she wrote out on a notebook, which is her right to do. The Free Press points out how this is really starting to have a big effect on Democratic politics, says that a crisis is leading Democrats to turn on their own party. I spoke with 18 of them in Chicago, including a restorative justice advocate and a former Obama intern. Some of them even said, if we skip down, that they're thinking of voting for Donald Trump. It's a phenomenon that's been reflected in national polls with Trump on the track to win nearly a quarter of the Black voters in key battleground states. That means that a fifth of Black voters who voted for Biden by a margin of 92% in 2020 could turn their back on the president. And this man here, he says, they're giving the migrants all the things we've been asking for since we came here in chains. It's an interesting question, right? Why one group over another? This guy says that he is a DEI consultant and a proponent. So, I mean, this is a liberal guy, right? Even ran as a Democrat. And he says what the Democratic Party doesn't want Black people to hear is that this is a Biden policy. Biden is allowing the borders to remain open. Now, I don't know how that's news to anybody because their neighborhood was not inundated with immigrants under Trump. You have to be able to connect the dots. He's saying that, you know, to the media, this is a secret. I'm thinking that that secret's out. Seems like people right in this neighborhood knows. Their local Democratic electors are not happy, are not helping. Last year, the city announced that a building that was slated to be a local community center would be turned into a migrant center. This here, years ago under Rahm Emanuel, they closed this school because they didn't have the money to run it as a school. They were going to turn it over to the community as a community center. Now, all of a sudden, the city found some money to run it as a migrant center. So how does that feel?
Flip the couch cushions over. You find all kinds of money available for them.
You have to imagine if you're an advocate for a hurting community and you're told there's nothing here for you, How does this feel?
Well, it's also a bit of a smack in the face to the homeless crisis, because it's like, you could have had all this money to help homeless people and you're going to put migrants in there instead. And these homeless people are still on the streets.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. But no, those are Americans. So those are American homeless. But if you came across the southern border all the way up from Ecuador, all the way through the Darien Gap and came across into America illegally, then you get the services.
I mean, hey, maybe that's what homeless people should do. Leave through California, go down through Arizona, come over and come back up through the border. Yeah. And you'll get housing.
It would be amazing to know how many like veterans are taken care of in Chicago. People who, you know, don't get the services they need. Homeless people, homeless veterans in Chicago that aren't getting the services they need. The policing that's been underfunded. Mm-hmm. The school system that's been underfunded.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw, you know, Kamala Harris is out there pushing these, you know, oh, we're pushing $1 billion to redo all like school systems with their electric buses.
Right.
So kids can have electric school buses. Like, that's a priority.
Yeah.
Let's fund that and illegal immigrants, but not actually help the schools.
Well, this one man says, you know, my kids walk past a school that was an elementary school and was closed because of funding. Now it's been handed over to migrants. That feels awful to walk past that school knowing that you paid your taxes, but the government mismanaged that money and couldn't keep that school open. But they found it for another group, right? This is racism. You guys, you're choosing one group over another. I don't know how else, like, we're so fixated on microaggressions and whether or not certain things are racism that when the most blatant racism is staring us in the face and we're saying, screw you, black people, just you absorb these migrants in your community. We don't care if you're uncomfortable.
It's Democrats doing it. Democrats, right, who love to be out there on Black Lives Matter. You know, where's Nancy Pelosi kneeling, you know, wearing some sort of an African robe or something like that, you know, kneeling and, oh, you know, right, George Floyd protests. Like, we're so concerned about the black community until it's necessary to be concerned about the black community.
Right. And there's this underlying assumption that people in these poorer communities live uncomfortably anyway. And we could just turn our nose up and like, what do you care if there's some, you know, Hispanic people pooping on the sidewalk? You already live in squalor, right? That is racist. It's a totally racist thing to think that you can just like make miserable people more miserable and not have to see it. It's racist and elitist. The Free Press says that at least three of these lawsuits have been successful and several migrant centers were stopped in these neighborhoods. Again, you know, Candace Owen has been saying this for a long time, that Democrats use black people and they're wrong to believe their rhetoric because this is proof positive. I think this highlights how it's not really a right or left issue. It's an issue of the social contract. You don't pay taxes in order to bring in new people who get perks that you are then denied. And these are like the school bit is a part of the social contract. We pay into our taxes in order to get school, right? We're not talking about what do we call these social funds, like extras, people who draw off the government.
What, entitlements?
Entitlement programs. That's the word. Yeah. We're not talking about entitlement. School is not an entitlement program, right? That's not what this is. They go to work, they have taxes taken out of their paycheck. School is the base level thing we should be assuming that they get. And those schools are closed and turned into migrant centers. And you know, anyone who says that we as a country should just lovingly absorb these migrants are usually the people who don't have to lift a finger or make a change.
And the migrants are getting the premium treatment. They're getting medical, they're getting their food, they're getting everything that they need is if they want genital reconstruction surgery, like anything they want or need, they're getting free of charge on the taxpayer back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In California. Yeah. I think the first of the year in California, they're now getting full health care in California, illegal immigrants.
California. Which includes transgender surgeries and cross-sex hormones. Right. Because that's a priority. I mean, imagine living in Oakland and you can't even get your kids can't get pencils and erasers and books and their schools are being closed down. And then a migrant walks by with boobs, right, that you paid for. Come on. You guys.
Well, and you see In-N-Out Burger is closing in Oakland.
You did that. Yeah. Like
because of crime.
That's why we can't have nice things.
You closed an In-N-Out Burger because of your crime, your criminality.
Right. And so here is how now all of a sudden upwardly mobile New York City residents are having to deal with this as well and becoming increasingly vocal. They say that New York City has turned into a giant toilet as migrants litter the park with poop and leave cups of urine on doorsteps. Now, I am choosing not to show you. This New York Post article had some gnarly photos, and I don't know if you're eating or not, so I'm not going to show it to you. If you'd like to see overflowing porta potties and other gross stuff, seek out this New York Post headline.
No, I'm more interested in the New York Post headline above that. That's actually not, which is the one, if you want to, yeah, which is these four smoldering Zodiac signs will have the most sex in 2024.
I don't know. I didn't click it.
That's better than the poop on the doorsteps.
I'm betting you Sagittarius is on there because it's going to be a good year.
Okay.
Yep. Hoping, I'm one too. So
I'm hoping Capricorn.
All right.
Hoping things turn around in February.
Guys, I don't know how to get back to cups of urine and
you don't have to get back
on the
to
street
it.
With
But this is where we're at. This is happening all over these towns. This isn't, I mean, look at Philadelphia.
Sagittarius sex?
Well, I don't know, maybe. But I'm talking about the poop. I was trying to get you back to the poop
and
urine.
I do want to get back to the poop.
That's happening all over these cities right now where people, I mean, it's just you're walking across it. I mean, you remember when Xi Jinping came to San Francisco for the big meeting there with President Biden, they had to clean up the whole city. And Gavin Newsom admitted they had to kick out people and move people out and clean up all of the human stuff all over the streets because it was so disgusting.
Yes. Well, that is happening in New York City. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had to institute a curfew at 11 p.m. because residents were complaining that the migrants were panhandling. But, you know, they still got, you got to poop. So if there's nowhere to go, they're going to go
so
on the streets.
So there's not a poop view? Is New York going to get a poop map like San Francisco?
Oh yes, God, I forgot about that. San Francisco, if you don't know this, has an interactive map that shows you where people have spotted human poop because it is so prevalent. I suppose that
imagine downloading that app. I'm sure when Apple
went home, I downloaded it.
When Apple created the iPhone in San Francisco, they rolled out and announced the iPhone in downtown San Francisco. Little did they know that their iPhones would be used to track poop.
Yeah, it's gross.
Right outside the doorstep of the Moscone Center.
Well, what's sad is that's going to become a national app if we don't stop. It's like, right. Hey, we're expanding. We're now moving into New York.
It's everywhere.
It's like Uber Eats. It starts in one city and it grows.
Did you know that Harvey Milk, his major platform was not being the first gay mayor? That was just who he was. But one of his main platforms was getting San Francisco residents to pick up their dog poop. And that's how he coalesced the voters around just he was tired of walking around San Francisco and walking around poop. And so imagine, right, how we can get a consensus about now we've kind of solved the dog poop issue. Most dog owners are used to picking up their poops in those disposable plastic bags. Imagine how much we can get a consensus around not wanting to see human poop. But apparently that's what's happening in New York City. Meanwhile, the Biden administration won a Supreme Court ruling to gain access to areas of Texas in order to reopen the southern border by removing barriers. We do not have one toilet per person, but they're going to do it anyway. This is the Supreme Court ruling allowing them access to the federal government across the border now, so they will remove border walls and wire that was there. So how then does Vice President Harris say that we're going to deal with all these new migrants, given that we have these communities that are saying we're hurting, maybe we want to do something about it, maybe we should stop this? Well, here's where Vice President Kamala Harris says we need to just process these people as Americans faster. That's all there is to it.
We should have a bipartisan approach to fixing this problem, which is a longstanding problem.
But what are those solutions?
The solution includes putting resources at the border to do what we can to process people effectively and putting in place laws that actually allow for a meaningful pathway to citizenship.
We have that. We already have that.
And so what then? We then house them for the duration of this court appearance? we'll just ship them off to New York where we don't even track them and follow them. And then for the next, some of these court appearances are for 2 years from now. You come in 2023, when they came in 2023, literally 2025 was on their paperwork. So for two years, we are footing the bill for that.
That's like a bunch of like junior and high school students just going to a college and say, hey, we're just going to hang out here until we're accepted into this college.
right. For free.
And we want to use a student union, and we want to use the student health center. Right. And we want a
we need
card.
A dorm.
Right. We need a dorm and we want a card for food.
Yeah. And
right.
Maybe, by the way, I want to go get a sex change operation while I'm waiting.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but the one thing she says is right, that there should be a bipartisan agreement that if we want to change our immigration system, then that needs to be sold to us as the American people, but we're doing it anyway without making the case, right? Who is for that? Who wants to argue it to the voters? We didn't get a say. If anyone is arguing for that in the open, it's not landing. Look at this new Reid poll showing how people are blaming the Biden administration for this. The percentage of people here in blue think the U.S. will be better off or slightly better off if Biden wins. These are blue voters. Now look at the percentage of voters who think the country will be better off under Trump. If Trump wins, it's every demographic, male and female. So I'm not saying this is the only reason people are voting this way or leaning this way, but I'm saying it's a big one. I think it is. I think it's indicative, again, of the inherent racism in the Democratic Party. And, you know, I'm glad that people are seeing, oh, they don't really care about us. We thought they did, right? They don't. And if you're a migrant, you should learn this lesson because you'll be at the bottom of this line sometime soon. And it will keep going if they get away with it. So let us know what you think of this story. We have a lot more news to get to. We're going to talk about how Germany is just doing whatever the heck they want with an energy transition, doing things that nobody asked for with fuel-powered energy because they've turned off their nuclear plants. Why? I don't know. They just want to. We're also going to talk about how globalists do not want you to drink coffee. Put that coffee down right now. You're destroying the earth. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at BioOptimizers because, you know, it's time to get around to your New Year's resolution. And if one of them was to focus on your well-being, well, then you know that involves a good night's sleep. So if you could just do one thing to improve your sleep and overall well-being, it's taking the number one mineral for that, which also helps us. Clayton and I do take magnesium on a regular basis. We're talking about Magnesium Breakthrough by BioOptimizers. This particular magnesium supplement has seven forms of magnesium and is involved in over 300 enzymatic reactions in the body. Pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded when you're taking magnesium, from the quality of your sleep to your brain function, from metabolism to stress levels. And let's face it, even if your 2024 resolution is not to focus on your health, how are you going to be able to achieve all those big goals without quality sleep and stress management? So do yourself a favor and make Magnesium Breakthrough a part of your daily routine this year. You can get the vitality you need to conquer the world or your world or whatever your goal is. So go to biooptimizers.com/redacted. Enter promo code redacted to get 10% off every order. And that's biooptimizers.com/redacted.
Well, now they are coming after your filtered coffee. First, it was meat, then it was coffee. The World Economic Forum can't stop telling us how to live because of climate change. The World Economic Forum tells us that it takes 140 liters of water just to provide you with that delicious drip cup of coffee that you love so much every morning. And the WEF wants to remind you that the most sustainable cup of coffee in the world comes from a lab. In Finland, of course it does. Not a farm at all, naturally. I'm sure Bill Gates is very excited about this, just like his lab-grown meat, now lab-grown coffee. So drink lab-grown coffee, of course, just like eating lab-grown meat.
Well, how are we defining a lab? Because isn't a kitchen essentially a lab?
Well, yeah. But I'm not growing the beans in my kitchen.
Right.
I'm not making some sort of a genetically modified bean in my kitchen.
Okay.
I'm getting it from coffee growers in Costa Rica.
It's a lab-grown bean.
But you don't grow your own coffee?
In the kitchen?
You're collecting big oil checks, aren't you? Big oil checks, aren't you?
You need to watch the show Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV with Brie Larson.
I read the book. There's a great part about the coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, where she turns the lab, her kitchen into a lab because she can't get a lab.
Right. And the neighbor's have you ever heard of Folgers?
Yeah.
So, yeah, drink your lab-grown coffee instead of buying it from coffee growers. You know, these delicious beans that come from Colombia and Costa Rica and wherever else you get your beans across the world. Vietnam. There's all sorts of amazing beans out there. Last week at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Swiss banker and World Economic Forum agenda contributor Hubert Keller sparked some controversy when he said that the coffee that we all drink emits between 15 and 20 tons of CO2 per ton of coffee. Okay, 15 to 20 per 1 ton of coffee. In other words, he says, every time we drink coffee, we're basically putting CO2 into the atmosphere. Listen.
We were having our coffee before the session, and you raised the coffee example. I'd love just to give you the chance to expand on that.
Basically, the coffee that we all drink emits between 15 and 20 tons of CO2 per ton of coffee. So we should all know that. This is every time we drink coffee, we are basically putting CO2 into the atmosphere.
Okay. So I take umbrage with that part of his commentary, but we'll come back to something else that he said in a moment that could actually be good for coffee and coffee growers. And frankly, the taste of coffee, which people are ignoring on the internet. They're just focusing on that piece of it, but I take incredible umbrage with that. And
I think
other comments cannot absolve him of saying that.
Okay, but I think that we should let people know who you are. Clayton is the kind of person who drinks any coffee offered to him, even if it is the disgusting Keurig in the brake shop, the shop that's like
fixing your brakes.
Like,
yeah,
he will not walk past free coffee. So,
or like, any coffee.
Yeah. No coffee. He says no to at any time of the day. So we're not talking about, you know,
but I do love good coffee. I do appreciate a good cup of coffee, but I will drink out of necessity. Crap coffee.
At like 5 p.m. At a Pep Boys.
Yeah, that is necessity. Yes.
I'm the same way. Like I would do, like when I had a drip coffee maker a while back, and it's like I'd run a full pot, and if I didn't drink it that day, I'd just let it sit there, and the next morning I'd wake up, just pour it in a cup, put it in the microwave, and then off I go.
That's like what your dad does.
I drink leftover coffee. I have no problem with that. Like, yeah. Clayton's coffee habits, they just never cease.
So I'm very, when I saw this story and I dove into the data
like,
on this. Don't come for my coffee, you world globalists. Keep your hands off my coffee. So every time we drink coffee, he says, we're putting CO2 into the air. So let's be precise and do the math, according to Keller, which he said 15, each cup, 1 ton of coffee emits 15 to 20 tons of CO2, according to Keller. Now, according to the data, coffee is the most popular drink in the world. Consumption worldwide actually looks like this. Take a look at the data. This is the most recent data that we have on the amount of coffee. It continues to go up. We drink 176 million bags of coffee per year. And those bags, if we weigh them in the metrics that they're using here, about 60 kilograms. So again, I did the math here. 1 ton equals 907 kilograms, right? Well, 10,560,000,000 kilograms divided by 907 kilograms equals 11 million tons. So we drink 11 million tons of coffee each year worldwide. According to him, that's about 180 million tons of CO2 that were then created from coffee every year. Large numbers, of course, sound scary, especially when we don't even know what they mean. Wow, that sounds scary. That's a lot of CO2. That must be awful. Or is it doing any harm to the planet at all? So if we're talking scary numbers, let's talk about some other scary numbers. Let's talk about the private jets that they took to Davos this year. His one private jet produces between 5,000 to 8,000 tons of CO2 per year annually. All the private jets that accounted for over 1 million tons of CO2 that were at Davos. But no one cares about private jets either. Drink your coffee in your private jet for all I care. I don't care. There's no evidence that it's causing any harm to the Earth at all. The U.S. military. You want other scary numbers? Here's a scary number. The U.S. military produces over 51 million tons of CO2 every year. Israel, the bombing of Gaza, has released more CO2 emissions over the past 100 days than 20 countries do annually. That's scary. But let's spend a whole panel discussing coffee and other panels on farming and meat production, which they did this week at the World Economic Forum. But no panels, by the way, on the effects of war. Wouldn't that have been amazing if the World Economic Forum announced we have a whole panel on the carbon footprint of war? They would never do that.
Yeah, I would tune in. Can you imagine that?
I would love to see if they do that panel, but they won't do that panel. Just a reminder.
But to me, this is really, really targeting. Like, they're trying to claw back and retarget like they did in the 90s and the early 2000s of pushing the environmental issue onto individuals so that corporations and the people that are actually doing the majority of the damage, are their hands are clean. So they want to put, so it's your cup of coffee that's doing this, not our private jets, not, you know, Nestle, who's like all over the world just doing as many like global or like environmental catastrophes that they can pull off. But that's not the issue. It's you, the individual. It's your cup of coffee. This is the whole, like, you know, don't run your water when you brush your teeth. Make sure you flip off every light switch when you leave the room, because it's up to you to save the environment. And there's nothing us individuals, even if you combine us together, we don't come close to some of these corporations that are out there doing this.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we talked about yesterday in Canada, right? That's what the Trudeau government wants you to do, to unplug certain appliances because of rolling brownouts, because it's so cold, the electric grid can't keep up with it. It's on you to keep Canada rolling. Really? Or what about the environmental policies that got us here in the first place? What about Germany, which we're going to get to here in a moment? Why are people facing a climate crisis and businesses have to close in Germany? But it's on you. It's on you, the consumer. Drink less coffee. Eat less meat because of all the water and the energy resources required to get you that hamburger. So just a reminder.
Well, I was just going to point out really quick that the reason they don't do the, you know, bring light to the military footprint is because it would really only be the United States. We have to be the biggest producer of that anywhere, because most of these other countries aren't at war like we are.
No,
they're at war with us.
No.
Right.
The U.S. spending and U.S. Military carbon footprint far exceeds any other in the world. So not even close. So they won't do that. So just a reminder that no one has shown evidence, by the way, that an increase in CO2 levels are bad for the Earth. No one. They can't do it. As Professor William Soon explained last week on Tucker. Listen.
I've been working on this subject of CO2 causing climate change, or what are the factors we can ask that cause climate to change, for close to as long as, since my postdoctoral year 1991, right? So it's about 32 years. And on this question, I think we have a very definitive answer. What we know now is CO2 ain't gonna cost nothing. It's not gonna change much of the climatic system, which means it won't change the speed of the hurricane. It won't change the how fast or how frequent tornado form. It won't even actually make any difference to the polar bear population. It's all conservation issue. It won't even cause how much fish you don't catch or catch, you know? It won't even cause what they call ocean acidification. It won't even cause this problem that they claim. It's all artificial. Everything they do, it's all dream from their model and the tyranny of the few again. That those few people just dream up this scary story that it just ain't true. My view is that the UNIPCC, United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is one of the primary problem, which means they have been misleading people. They've been using authority of science, which is not true, right? It's all governmental hackers, basically, right?
In fact, yes. The evidence suggests the opposite, that a warming Earth produces more life, more food, more fertile soil, more abundance. But that's not stopping the climate alarmists, of course, from pushing this anti-meat, anti-coffee, anti-oil, anti-natural gas agenda. Here's the New York Post. People should drink less coffee to combat climate change, study says. Canadian researchers analyzed coffee's contribution to climate change in a piece published in early January and suggest people moderate their consumption of the popular drink as part of the solution. Researchers said that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Preparing coffee is just the tip of the iceberg. Limiting your contribution to climate change requires an adapted diet and coffee is no exception. Choosing a mode of coffee preparation that emits less greenhouse gas and moderating your consumption, meaning fewer cups, are part of the solution, the researchers at the University of Quebec wrote in their study.
Okay, so according to researcher Bjorn Lundberg, people say that they go meatless for the environment and that studies have only ever been able to prove that going meatless saves something like less than 10%. So 90% of our diets are going to be the same, and meatless is probably about 10% less. And I think that that's changing.
Of as what? We save what?
Of your carbon footprint. So let's say my carbon footprint is a 10, whatever metric we're using, and a vegetarian would be a 9, right, of their carbon footprint. And I think that that's changing rapidly as we move towards seed oil-based foods. But nevertheless, if meat, right, can reduce a carbon footprint, and, you know, again, I think that's debatable. Think about just the drink of coffee. It can't even be close to 1%. When meat is probably the majority of people's diets. You see what I'm saying here?
Right.
It's so nominal. Could you argue that it would, like, a coffee-less diet is equivalent to such a lower carbon footprint than a coffee drinker's diet?
No, it's ridiculous. It's remember, it's
you know,
like,
what it tells me?
It's like when Boris Johnson in the UK told people to replace their tea kettles to help the environment. Because that, really? How about not sending military, massive amounts of military equipment to Ukraine? That'll help maybe in some small measure if you really want to help things, but people's tea kettles? Boris Johnson, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what this tells me is drink more coffee because there's obviously something in it that's beneficial that they don't want you to have.
I don't know about that. Well, we know it lowers heart disease.
But we also, again, according to Bjorn Lundberg, it is our number one source of pesticides.
Yeah.
It is the one thing that we interact with the most that is most heavily sprayed with pesticides. So, you know, let's not lose our heads here and just say because they don't want us to have it, we want it. I see your comments when you guys write that. It makes me laugh, but we have to be a little smarter than that.
So they argue that filtered coffee, by the way, is the biggest contributor of CO2. So the filtered coffee is the biggest. Yeah, then instead of filtered, you'd be doing the earth a favor by just using those mass-produced, like, Keurig coffee pods, which are the worst.
But you drink them, honey.
Quote, I don't drink Keurig. I refuse. That stuff's garbage.
You don't refuse any coffee.
I'll drink some bad gas station filtered coffee any day of the week over a Keurig pod. Anyway, so let me just get back to my story here. Quote, the entire point of the study is to tell us that coffee production causes climate change. Why? Because of CO2 emissions. And Al Gore, of course, warned us 20 years ago that rising CO2 levels cause a warming of the earth, which then, of course, leads to heat waves. It leads to raging hurricanes. It leads to famines. Right? That's the point they're getting to with all of this. The carbon footprint piece is just one piece of the story. But, of course, we want to reduce the carbon footprint because of raging hurricanes, heat waves, famines. Inequity around the world, total devastation. So let's look at these and see if they're correct. You've probably seen a lot of headlines like this over the past few years. Heat waves are causing mass death across Europe. Heat waves are killing people all through, Italy, whatever. I'm sure you've seen a ton of those headlines. But nothing could be further from the truth. Heat waves haven't increased at all. In fact, they've been about the same or decreased for decades. Take a look at this. This is the U.S. Annual Heat Wave Index. Notice anything odd about it? To go back to 1930, as we talked about last night on the show, for this type of behavior. As climate researcher
Alex... Did we bump into the sun in 1930? What the hell is that spike?
Exactly. Look at that. But it hasn't been a problem for that long.
And actually, there are climate researchers now who have amazing technology at how to warn populations at risk for heat waves. They can see it coming, and they have throughout India and other extremely hot places. Again, I refer you to Judith Curry's great book on this.
So as climate researcher Alex Epstein writes, even though Earth has gotten 1% or 1 degree Celsius warmer in the last century, deaths from cold outnumber deaths from heat by 5 to 15 times. Cold is more dangerous than heat on every continent. Take a look at this. Even in especially hot countries such as India, cold-related deaths significantly exceed heat-related deaths. In fact, even with a slight warming of the Earth, according to the data from The Lancet, look at this. It saves 166,000 lives per year. Warming does. Fewer cold deaths as a result. So in other words, if they could prove that humans are warming the Earth with CO2 emissions, which they can't, then it's actually saving lives, not killing people. I agree with Graham Keegan, who posted this on X. Drinking coffee causes a lot of CO2 emissions, apparently. I didn't know this. I will now drink a lot more coffee. I agree. That's exactly how I feel about it. So when someone tries to claim that heat waves are on the rise, show them this video. Share this with them, because heat waves are on the rise because of CO2 emissions. Both statements are false. You know, or that heat waves are on the rise because of CO2 emissions, or that heat waves are even on the rise. Both statements are false. Now, what about hurricanes and storms? Roger Pilkey Jr., a political scientist and professor who studies these models at the University of Colorado Boulder, has a running chart of storms in the United States that make landfall. The red line data shows these storm frequency is going down or flat. Look at the red line in the middle of the screen, the red dotted line. But it's certainly not going up. So it might be flat. It's going down, but certainly not going up, as he explains. Take a listen.
The United Nations, for instance, predicted that we would get a 40% increase in disasters between 2015 and 2030. So still 7 years to go. Do you believe them?
That's an unfortunate abuse of statistics. They took a data set that shows an increase in disasters because of better reporting around the world from the 1970s. And they drew a line through it and extended it to 2030. The reality is that since 2000, the number of global disasters has been flat or slightly declining, which is really good news. It means that the world is doing better with respect to disasters. Disasters require a combination of an exposed population, vulnerability, and an extreme event. So when we look for trends in climate, we should always look at climate data, not disaster data.
So what about famines? Well, according to the UN Refugee Agency, famines, number one cause of famines, yeah, they say it here, is wars and conflict. The primary drivers of famine. As we've long said here at Redacted, wars cause famine. Yeah, they say that. Here in Somalia, people are starving. Never mind that we're bombing them and destroying their crops and irrigation options, but it's climate change here in Somalia. That's responsible for the shorter rainy seasons. Okay, even if that were true, there's zero evidence that human beings have anything to do with it. Or that it's not just part of some normal Earth cycle. Oh, and by the way, Wall Street knows this, by the way. So Wall Street has been betting big against climate alarmism. I love this. I find this part of the story fascinating. A new report out this morning shows that Wall Street hedge funds made billions last year betting that big disasters caused by climate change wouldn't happen, would not happen. Wall Street bet against climate-related disasters, and they made a lot of money betting against it. They've been looking at the same data that we've presented here to you tonight. And not the stuff that the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, and the mainstream media try to spin. Look at this. Hedge funds got a big boost from betting against disasters. And they say in this piece, we've all seen the headlines about how extreme weather events are becoming more frequent and more disastrous, but one group is surprisingly optimistic that the worst catastrophes won't happen. Hedge funds. A record $16 billion in catastrophe bonds were issued in 2023. Top hedge funds snapped them all up, which helped them reach historic profits, according to Bloomberg. What are these catastrophe bonds? They're insurance-linked securities that pay out huge returns if a natural disaster doesn't happen. They put up the collateral to be used if the disaster occurs, but then gets it back if it doesn't, and it earns interest along the way. I find that hilarious. So it's like,
Does this sound like the most disgusting game of craps ever? Like, that's almost sinister that even exists.
Well, that's Wall Street for
like,
you.
I mean, what the hell?
Think about credit default swaps, betting on the collapse of the housing market. Yeah. I mean, this is what Wall Street does, right? So they're betting against these disasters. They're saying, and Wall Street puts up these bonds because we think they're going to happen, ESG and whatever else. And these companies, these big hedge funds are like, nope, we're looking at this data. We don't think something big's going to happen this year caused by humans and climate change. Now, before we go, back to something that Hubert Keller said at the WEF, which in our view is a very pro-farmer, pro-coffee grower statement. He spoke about the need to basically pay these farmers a lot more money without charging the consumers more for a cup of coffee. He said they only make 10% of the profits for their hard work. And the big corporations make most, if not all, of the profits. Like the upstream, downstream variation here is so out of whack that the farmers make nothing. So I was stunned. He actually said this at a World Economic Forum. He was pro-farmer, wanting to keep them in business, improve their land, and also make us, the consumers, not pay more for the cup of coffee. Like, and there's, he says there's a system in place that we can do all of that. Listen.
You know, there is a great nature opportunity around coffee. If we move on to the economics of coffee, it's a roughly a $250 billion market globally. But what is really interesting is that less than 10% of this value goes to the growers. And by the way, coffee grower is not, most of coffee growers live below the poverty line, and it's an incredibly fragmented industry.
So there's a lot of money to be made along the line, and it doesn't all have to go to the big companies and so forth, that the farmers should be making an equitable amount of money. And you can do that with regenerative farming, providing biodiversity on these soils so that they're not killing off the soils, but then making sure that that money is being reinvested. And he believes that that can actually happen. So, you know, we want to give him credit for saying that, but he said something crazy about climate change and your cup of coffee is contributing to climate change at the beginning. But he did say that about farmers. So to be fair and equitable, that's what we try to do here. So let us know your thoughts on this. Are you okay to give up your cup of coffee or reduce the amount of coffee you drink? For those folks at the World Economic Forum, let us know in the comments below. We have more news to get to. We're going to look at Germany, which has totally shot itself in the foot with friends like the United States blowing up its Nord Stream pipeline and re-altering its economy around coal-powered power plants, turning off their nuclear power plants, going after the farmers. They've really shot themselves in the foot. So we're going to look at Germany in just a second. But first...
So let me tell you about our friends over at The Wellness Company. Now, we've talked to you about their emergency medical kit a few weeks ago. They have another product that I think you might be interested in as it relates to certain vaccine rollouts. Which is a topic I want to talk about later this week as well, because there are new studies about vaccine hesitancy, which I think is so interesting because the medical community will not study cumulative effects of vaccines, but they will study your attitudes towards them. So that's interesting. But we know that the spike protein is in our world now. We've talked about this at length. And so the Wellness Company has created Spike Support. So maybe this is something that you've thought about with so many previously healthy people now all of a sudden having myocarditis, blood clots, turbo cancers, menstrual irregularities. If you're not paying attention, you'll miss them, but they're in our media, they're in our world. If you're concerned about the spike protein and it's a lingering threat from both the vaccine and virus, linked to all sorts of long-term health issues that even Pfizer has now admitted, maybe you should look into this spike protein. I don't know if we want to call it a supplement or it's a support. It will help your natural response to what could be a detrimental effect of a spike protein. Basically, how do you detox from this? Well, thanks to the Wellness Company, that's something we can do. It's a unique blend of natural ingredients that aims to block and dissolve spike protein in your blood so you can stop waiting for the other shoe to drop and get back to feeling your best. So check it out for yourself. See if this fits into your lifestyle. Reclaim your health at twc.health/redacted and use our code redacted for 10% off at checkout. That's twc.health/redacted and use our code redacted. Again, we have a lot of, you know, misinformation around medical health, all of that stuff. If you owe it to yourself and your family to take control of your health, look into the Spike Support. We thank them so much for their support of this show. Well, Germany is set to announce plans for more gas-powered energy plants this week after inexplicably turning off their nuclear plants. This is their truly puzzling plan to phase out coal power. Now, this plan is set to cost 40 billion euros to an economy that is already hurting to the point that the streets are packed with protesters. But is the public going to get a vote on this? No. It will be agreed upon in closed-door meetings by the economy and finance ministries, as well as the chancellor's office, in an effort to deal with the country's energy crisis, which they created along with their friends, the United States, that blew up their pipeline. So behind closed doors, they are transitioning energy to a less clean source, even though the German people do not want this. Now, before we look at this, last week at the World Health or the World Economic Forum, one of their talking points that I meant to bring you and I forgot to screenshot it was that we have to stop using the word phase out. Consumers don't like it and it pisses them off. And we have to start using the words transitioning to. Does that piss you off any less? No more phase out. The words now that we're using, globalist playbook, is transitioning to. Well, this is so interesting because Germany is transitioning to an old technology. Here is where the headline says they're set for gas-powered plant expansion. Okay, they already had that after they had retired what we see here was their nuclear plants last year. Even though protesters were saying don't turn these off because nuclear is a reliable and affordable form of energy, even Greta Thunberg was protesting the closing down of these nuclear plants. And in fact, when they did this, 69% of the German public said that they would support continued nuclear power use until renewables were able to replace it. Well, they got neither. They're getting gas-powered fuel, which they don't consider to be renewable, and they have to import that because they have been doing that since the war broke out and they shut down their nuclear plants. We've brought you this data before. Nuclear energy has fewer deaths per kilowatt hours, no pollution, no carbon emissions. It is one of the cheapest and most reliable forms of energy we've got, which is why politicians decided you have it too easy. You can't have this affordable energy. Gavin Newsom is one of those, and now the German government. So not only are they not choosing the most affordable energy, they're not choosing the cleanest. So why are they doing this? And given that Germany now is set to build gas power plants, you think they'd really be pissed that they can't access any gas, liquid or otherwise, from the Nord Stream pipeline that was blown up in 2022. Am I right or am I right? They don't seem to be curious about it. They did indeed conduct an internal investigation, but they didn't tell anybody about it. Here is how the Associated Press reported it. This German minister says she hopes someone is indicted for the sabotage of the Nord Stream pipeline. She said this last year because she said affordable energy is a national security issue. It is. She's right. And at the bottom, this little footnote, Germany, Sweden, and Denmark have investigated the attack, though have been tight-lipped about their finding. Now, why would they need to be tight-lipped about it? Because they're afraid to say what they found there?
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
Or the relationship, you know, the relationship with the United States carrying
they
out this attack.
They know the United States did it.
Yeah.
Come on. It's just no wonder that the German farmers continue to revolt because they're not getting the full story and German politicians are just winging it, basically making one bad decision after another. Farmer protests have been popping up now in France, in Scotland. Many countries are deciding to have been motivated by what started in the Netherlands, continues to roll throughout Germany, as farmers say, stop telling us we're living wrong and start supporting those of us who grow the food that you live off of. Recently, parliamentary member Rob Roos spoke out about these protests as a reaction to the ruling class. And I'd like to give him the last word on this. I'm sorry that he's speaking, I believe, in Dutch, and it's subtitled, so you're going to have to read it. But go ahead, please.
Overal in Europa komen boeren in protest. De aanleiding verschilt. In Nederland is het stikstof, in Duitsland hogere accijnzen. Maar de reden ligt dieper en is overal hetzelfde. In Brussel en in onze hoofdsteden hebben regenten besloten dat we verkeerd leven en dat alles anders moet. Er is een gigantische kloof ontstaan tussen de grote meerderheid en de stedelijke academische regentenklasse. Die klasse die beheert de politiek, maar waardeert boeren niet. Terwijl de boeren ons voeden. Iedere dag. Regentenklasse wil onze boeren laten verdwijnen, regeltje voor regeltje. Om daarna handelsakkoorden te sluiten met de hele wereld. Voortaan gaan we appels uit Vietnam invliegen. In naam van het klimaat, natuurlijk. Jullie leden van het Europees Parlement moeten in de spiegel kijken. De massale boerenprotesten gaan over jullie. Jullie zijn hier verantwoordelijk voor. Stop mensen te dwingen anders te leven. Stop de boeren het werken onmogelijk te maken. We hebben onze boeren keihard nodig. Voedselzekerheid is ook een kwestie van nationale veiligheid. No farmers, no food, no future. Dank u wel.
Dank u. Mimi Teek in the chat says Poland is going to start protesting tomorrow as well. So we've been keeping an eye on these farmer revolts. Hopefully they get globalists to actually, and their local politicians, who are one and the same, to do something different.
That's right. Well, we have a daily newsletter we would love for you all to sign up for. Again, it's totally free. Again, it delivers to your inbox first thing in the morning so you can read up on the stories you might have missed while you were sleeping. We usually publish it about 7, 7:30 in the morning, depending on your server and your local town. You know, so if you depends on if Gmail blocks it or bans it. I just saw someone in the chat a few minutes ago saying that Google has blocked it. Okay, so I guess, you know, and Gmail has labeled us as dangerous. Our newsletter is dangerous. So go out and get the world's most dangerous newsletter and see how dangerous it is. Tomorrow morning, it'll be delivered to your inbox. Just go to redacted.inc and sign up. It's totally free. And then you'll receive a welcome email from me. And then just you got to move it over to your inbox so it doesn't go in your spam folder tomorrow morning. And yeah, then you just have to verify it. So you'll receive that welcome email. You just have to click verify. And then tomorrow morning at about 7 a.m., you'll get the newsletter, and you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee. We cover about, you know, 4 or 5 stories and a couple of things you missed while you were sleeping, some of the markets, some of the market news, what's going on with gold and silver prices while you were sleeping. And, yeah, really dangerous stuff. Redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up that.
Angela says she reads it with her coffee. I mean, both things are dangerous. You live on the edge, girl.
It's very dangerous.
You're living on the edge. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Angela. Clone says we should have a farmer protest in the United States. Well, we're about to have a massive trucker convoy and protest going across the southern border in the United States, going state to state and city to city. That's going to be, you know, to take our border back in the United States. So we'll see about that. That'll be our own version of that. So,
all right. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much for subscribing, for liking the show, for sharing it, for commenting. We really appreciate your participation in our show. See you tomorrow.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.